You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Here are your hosts, Matt Peck and Big Dave Watson.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls, and you can shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. And that text to voicemail line's there for you. Our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369 is that number. We've got a jam-packed inbox with people reacting to the NBA draft from Thursday night and the Bulls selection of Ayo Dosunmu. Me and my guy Big Dave will get to as much of that as we can next week. We'll probably maybe even kick off the week with a Monday mailbag episode to see what y'all are thinking about this Bulls draft night. Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. All right, so happy Friday, everybody. Hope everybody enjoyed watching the NBA draft last night. Crazy day in the world of sports. We have MLB trade deadline and the NBA draft basically overlapping because of the postponed NBA calendar season. Wild, wild stuff. Cubs fans like myself, sad to see the official departure of Anthony Rizzo. Definitely hurt more that he went to the Yankees. So if you are a baseball fan, and in addition to a Hoops fan, just a reminder, as always, check out Locked On Cubs. If you're a Sox fan, check out Locked On White Sox. They do great work with both of those podcasts. But so, NBA, we've got to talk about the Bulls. The draft pick of Ayo Dosunmu, 38th overall in the second round. I'm going to break down everything that I think about this pick and all of the context surrounding it. The Bulls opting to take Ayo instead of a very other viable option in Sharif Cooper. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about some of these people who I saw on my Bulls timeline last night saying this is such a Garpax pick, despite this not being Garpax. This is a new front office, a new regime. In AK and Eversley, we trust, right? Apparently not everybody. Apparently some of you listening to this podcast right now are not enamored with this pick and feel like it is reminiscent of the former front office that we finally ousted last year. So I'll give some of my thoughts and context on that. As I said, we'll get into some mailbag stuff at the beginning of next week when my guy Big Dave is back from his vacation to get all of your thoughts and reactions. Again, 331-979-1369. If you agree or disagree with anything I'm about to say about Ayo Dosunmu. Okay, so I know a lot of Bulls fans were hoping that maybe AK and Eversley would try to do something to maybe try and trade back up into the first round of this draft, which was a very, very deep draft. A lot of players, Ayo included, would have absolutely been surefire first-round picks and maybe even lottery picks in last year's draft. That's how good this draft class was. So, initial just like basketball X's and O's breakdown of Ayo Dosunmu's game. Obviously, most of us now know, if you weren't following him already, and his story, his basketball career arc, a Chicago native, played high school ball at Morgan Park on the South Side, and then committed to the University of Illinois because he was interested in the idea of staying around or close to home. And was very proud to bring that U of I basketball program back to respectability, which he did. In his junior year, he was a star on that U of I team. He was an All-American, got the Bob Cousy Award, and he averaged 20 and a half points per game on 49% shooting from the field, 39% shooting from the three-point line, and also chipped in over 6 boards and over 5 assists per game. Also very active on the defensive end, creating steals, creating turnovers, and transition opportunities. And man, some of his transition high-flying acrobatics were really fun to watch when he was playing at U of I. This kid, as far as his metrics, he's 6'5", and he's got a 6'10 wingspan. This guy has arms for days, and I love it. We will get to Sharif Cooper in a little bit, but right off the bat, that is one thing that I say. Ayo absolutely has that advantage over Sharif Cooper if you were just talking about picking one or other of those two players. And we heard AK talk about it, right, in his comments after the draft. And hey, shout out to my guy, Mark K of Bulls HQ, a good friend of the pod. A lot of you probably listen to his pod and follow him on Twitter as well. He said, shout out to AK and Eversley for waiting until after the draft, including the second round, was actually over as a clear shot at Gar and Pax, who after selling off a pick with the explanation of, well, we didn't really have anybody on our board, started their press conference while the draft was still happening. I love that. One of my favorite tweets of the night. So the draft ends, and one of the things that Arturis says about Ayo is love his not only toughness on the defensive end, but his length and his versatility. It's one of the biggest reasons I think that they were enamored with Patrick Williams when they had the number 4 pick last year. Look at the way NBA teams are now trying to defend in this, you know, in the 2020 NBA, where it is so hard to play defense. The officiating and the rules of the league have shifted to favor offense, high scoring games, because that's what they think fans want. The best thing you can do as a team is to have long, rangy, and versatile defenders, multiple if possible. You added one in Patrick Williams, but one isn't enough. So Ayo Dosunmu adds immediately another player of that caliber whose length will allow you all kinds of defensive flexibility and versatility. And I absolutely love that about Ayo. Another thing I love about Ayo, dude is clutch as hell. If you are a U of I fan, even if you're not, but just occasionally would, you know, turn on Big Ten basketball, if you were watching the games leading up to the tourney, you know, conference tournaments, throughout Ayo's career, and in particular his final season with the Illini, anytime they were in a tight game late in the second half, I'm talking less than 90 seconds to go in the game, and the game is within a bucket or two, he had the ball in his hands countless times and took and made a big shot, made a big play. That dude has no fear, none whatsoever. And why should he? As I mentioned, nearly a 50% shooter from the field, 40% almost from behind the three-point arc. Mad props to him for improving his three-point shooting by nearly 10% compared to his sophomore season on virtually the same number of attempts. A 10% jump in his three-point percentage. And whether it was taking and making big threes, driving, breaking defenses down off the dribble and getting a look at the rim, that kid made all of the biggest plays. Like, go back and watch his highlight reel. It's all clutch shots. All clutch shots. They're in close games, whether it's Big Ten conference games or whoever else they're playing. If it is a close game late, Ayo was the dude who said, give me the ball. And how valuable is that? We have a guy in Zach LaVine who is not afraid to take big shots late, but we have been in certain moments discouraged by Zach LaVine's late game decision making. And you know, like really poorly timed turnover right there. Or like we need somebody else other than Zach so that we have options of who can take and make a big shot late. No knock at Kobe White. He made a couple of big shots in his first couple of NBA seasons, but Ayo clearly fearless in that regard. And I love that about him. Absolutely love that. I've got more thoughts on Ayo and the Bulls' decision from the NBA draft last night. We'll get to more of that in just a second and start breaking down the comparisons of him and Sharif Cooper. First, a word from our great friends and sponsors. We'll be right back. Sharif Cooper. A lot of Bulls fans, as like me, were watching the draft last night, and he is falling and falling and falling. A lot of people thought this guy could have been good enough to be in the 10 to 15 range. You know, a huge upside with this guy. Falling and falling and falling. And here we are. We're into the second round, pick 31, pick 33, pick 35. And he's still there. At 38, he is on the board. This, you know, dazzling playmaking guard from Auburn who a lot of people said guaranteed first rounder right there. And I saw a lot of Bulls fans as we watched that second round and the Bulls selection unfold say, happy about Ayo. You know, we'll see what he does, but man, really wish the Bulls had taken Sharif Cooper. And let me first say, I get it. Knowing that what this team desperately needs is a playmaking guard to complement Zach LaVine, you watch Sharif Cooper and his career at Auburn, that kid makes some just mind-bending passes. He is a magician with the basketball. Even as undersized as he is, he can just dominate opposing defenses with his craftiness and his handling and his playmaking ability. I'm absolutely acknowledging that in that regard, he is more impressive than Ayo Dosunmu, who in his own right, again, averaged over 5 assists per game in his final season with U of I. And the other knock of not just like, but look, he's the better playmaker. What we need is a playmaker. How many of those people would also say don't draft for positional need, draft best available? Right now, I think it's safe to say, and tell me if you disagree, that Ayo is a higher floor, safer bet, can start contributing off the bench right away, right now, player than Sharif Cooper. And that's the knock I heard from a lot of Bulls fans. Yet again, doesn't matter if it was the old regime or the new regime, we take the safe pick on draft night as opposed for swinging for high upside, swinging for a home run of a draft pick. Look at Wendell. Look at Kobe. Look at, you know, examples X, Y, and Z of we passed on this big window guy who could be a star and comes with some risk. And we took the guy that's the guy. We took the guy who, of course, we took that guy. Higher floor, lower ceiling. And I think in some ways that is valid. In some ways that is fair to say, because I agree. Ayo, higher floor, maybe lower ceiling than Sharif Cooper. And a lot of people saying, like, yeah, people knock Sharif Cooper for his size, but people did that with Trae Young, and look what Trae Young just did. Led the Atlanta Hawks to an Eastern Conference Finals appearance in just his third season. True. I think there are pieces of context around that that make that not quite as easy of a comparison. And, like, look, no knock on the Atlanta Hawks. They and the Bulls were kind of rebuilding on somewhat similar timelines. They take Trae Young, and a lot of people say, oh, really? Trae Young? Could have had Luka take Trae Young? A lot of people, you know, pan that. And they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, was their path to the Eastern Conference Finals all that difficult? Not in my opinion. You know, what do you beat a Knicks team that, yeah, kudos, has Julius Randle and Barrett, two very good players, two rising stars. Not a loaded team. And then you beat a Philly team that their second best player is afraid to shoot close late in the game. And, like, has the yips in a conference semis playoff round. Again, I'm not knocking what Trae accomplished, but when you look at what they did to get to the conference finals, the two rounds they won, you're like, Okay. All that being said, the thing I just mentioned about Ben Simmons, the all-star who's afraid to shoot late in a close game, I'm not saying that Cooper is like that. I'm not saying that he will be a player who's afraid to shoot at the NBA level. But his subpar field goal percentage overall and 22% from behind the three-point line. Look, yes, the Bulls need a playmaker, but they also need several reliable or at least threat-worthy three-point shooters. We tried the point guard who's got some playmaking ability but can't shoot. His name was Chris Dunn. And that did not work out. And, okay, maybe some of you are saying, oh, come on. Sharif Cooper, way more impressive already when it comes to playmaking and ball handling and that kind of dazzling skill of a point guard than Chris Dunn ever had. I will grant you that. But again, you can't have a starting point guard who can't shoot. It needs to be at least a viable perimeter threat. Ben Simmons' teammate, MVP candidate teammate, and coach, after they got bounced out in the second round, after being one of the most dominant teams in the East and a potential title contender all season long, both threw their teammate under the bus and said, yeah, Ben Simmons probably should have dunked that. Or, you know, Doc saying, you know, can you have a point guard who can't shoot be the point guard who starts for a championship team? And Doc saying, I don't know. And we're all waiting for what team makes the offer that Daryl Morey finds acceptable to get Ben Simmons the hell out of there. In this league, you cannot afford a starting backcourt player who can't shoot. And look, Io improved his three-point shooting from sophomore year to junior year by 10 percentage points. I mentioned that earlier. So it's not to say that Sharif Cooper can't improve upon his three-point shooting if he works at his game, but it's certainly no guarantee that he does. 22%? 22%. I'm sorry. I don't care how good that kid's handles are. At least Ben Simmons is big. At least Ben Simmons, with his offensive flaws, also gives you an all defensive team kind of player on the other side of the court, night in and night out. Can guard multiple positions with his size, his lateral quickness, everything we know about Ben Simmons, the defensive player. That is something that says, okay, Ben Simmons doesn't have this, but look what he has on the other end. Sharif Cooper is like 5 foot, forget it. Can't weigh more than 160 pounds, soaking wet. And again, going back to Trey, oh, undersized, like you can't win with undersized players in this league. And look at that example. Oh, yeah, okay, fine. You know what Trey Young can do? Shoot. He can pull up from 40. So it doesn't matter that he's undersized. He has both offensive skills. He can play make, he can dribble, and he can shoot as soon as he crosses half court. So it's okay, or at least more okay, that he is super undersized and a defensive liability. Sharif Cooper can't do that. Sharif Cooper is undersized and a defensive liability, and he can't shoot. So, look, I get the whole, you know, safe middle of the road, let's stay in this center lane complaint about Io versus, yes, but the potential upside of Sharif Cooper. I understand that nitpick and that complaint, especially given the recent track record of this team in the draft. A lot of safe picks and not very many, you know, let's go for the home run kind of picks, which a lot of you would say, if you're a team who's rebuilding, take a chance at the star. Take a chance at the franchise-changing player. Might be a bust, but he might be the opposite of a bust. The most recent example, and I think, you know, the people who were saying, man, this has a lot of like Gar Pax feel to it, would of course be a few years ago, when Michael Porter Jr., projected number one overall pick at one point, is on the board still when the Bulls have, of course, the seventh pick and they're on the clock. The Bulls take Wendell Carter Jr., who, quick side note, posted a good luck to everybody and congrats to everybody in the draft tonight photo on Instagram from his draft night, his draft wardrobe, like painted over the Bulls logo on his draft cap. So petty. I love it. Anyway, where was I? All right, Michael Porter Jr. So the Bulls pass on Michael Porter Jr., who was there at seven when a lot of people thought consensus number one. And then another team passed on Michael Porter Jr. And another team and another team and another team until finally Denver at, what was it, 14, I believe, said, well, okay, at this point, risk versus reward, let's take this kid and hope that the concern about his medical reports that were done at the NBA draft combine that the Bulls got the first look at were overblown, or just hope that we get lucky in the sense that he stays healthy. And after pretty much just not playing his rookie year because of a bad back problem, Michael Porter Jr. comes in, plays some big games, has some big performances in the bubble last summer, and everybody's, you know, in Bulls Nation is like, I can't believe we passed on this guy. Look how good he is. He's a star. Why did we pass on him? I was saying it then, and I said it on draft night. I said it during the MPJ bubble performance. I'll say it again now. The Bulls passed on a guy that 13 other teams passed on when he was once thought to be a number one pick. So I don't necessarily think that the Bulls passing on Sharif Cooper to take Ayo is necessarily a comparable situation, but in another sense, it is comparable because the Bulls were one of many teams to see whatever that red flag was. You know, is it something medical? Is it this flaw in the person's game? Is it the flaw in this person's character? Whatever it might be, to say, ooh, a lot of upside there, but no, too much of a risk. The Bulls were one of a dozen other teams to feel that way about Michael Porter Jr. on draft night a few years ago. Sharif Cooper was thought to be a lock first round pick with that high upside. And he's falling and he's falling and he's falling and he's falling. And a lot of, you know, it is a deep draft class. So with all of the talent out there, even past, you know, the top four, the top five of this year's, you know, these are the best, these are the four or five. There's talent and depth everywhere else through this draft. And if you are a player who has any kind of red flag, look at all these other viable options in front of us. Doesn't that, to a degree, inform you as to why Sharif Cooper fell and fell and fell some more? He was there at 38 for the Bulls. They said, no, you know what? We really like this kid, Ayo Dosunmu. We're going to go that route. We need the length. We need the defensive versatility. We need another confident shooter. Fill out all the other reasons. Sharif Cooper fell 10 spots further than that. 48, he finally gets taken by Atlanta. And so because, of course, it's Atlanta who were the team that gambled on Trae Young. And look, it paid off. We went to the conference finals with Trae Young as our star. The Bulls fans who are saying, God, swing for the fences, said the Hawks just did it again. The Hawks now have Sharif Cooper backing up Trae Young in Atlanta, and they're taking big swings, and the Bulls are sitting here just going 30 miles an hour down the center lane. Because it was Atlanta. If it was a different team, that element doesn't come into play. But 48. The dude fell to 48 when most people thought he was a first-round pick, and maybe even as high as like the mid-teens. Shouldn't that tell you something? And look, there are other things that have been reported on with Sharif Cooper. Red flag, super undersized, and is basically a defensive zero. That's a red flag to his game. Can't shoot, red flag to his game. Then there's the stuff off the court where he missed the first, 10 or 12 games of his Auburn career because of an eligibility issue. There are these stories that were reported where his dad, who has his own agency, the CEO of his own sports agency, he was Isaac Okoro's agent when Okoro was coming into the league. And he is also his son, Sharif Cooper's agent. And that maybe that there were some red flags about that there was some kind of difficulty that a lot of executives, GMs, scouts around the league were hearing or seeing about how Sharif Cooper and his dad have this weird, you know, father-son agent-client relationship that caused some issues at Auburn. And maybe let's avoid that. If he's got red flags to his game and he has red flags off the court, let's avoid that headache, or at least avoid that potential headache. And I'm not claiming to know much more about the Sharif Cooper and his dad slash agent thing than that. All I'm saying is I've read a couple of reports during, you know, the draft process that were talking about that issue and his eligibility issue. And I saw some people on Twitter last night who are more in the know than me saying, yeah, you know, talking to people around the league, that may have been a reason why he fell as far as he did. Is the whole dad slash agent thing, and that maybe being a potential issue that a lot of teams wanted to avoid. So there that is. I'm just saying, when high upside potential star players fall as far as they do, there's usually a reason for it. So right now, I am not going to judge Arturas and say, and Eversley say, oh, Garpak's move. We just replaced Garpak's with different names because we passed on the high upside guy and took the safe guy. Look at all of the context around it. And the people who say, oh, classic Garpak's move, took the hometown guy, right? I heard some people saying that on Twitter. What? Because that's what they did always? Oh, we got to take the hometown guy. Well, did they draft Jabari Parker? No, they didn't. Did they draft Dwayne Wade? They wanted to. No, they didn't. Garpak's move was to overpay Chicago natives who were already in the NBA and washed and had nowhere to go. That's the Garpak's move. The one hometown guy that they drafted, if that's your rag on them, of like, oh, always drafting the hometown guy. Oh, you mean the easy number one pick in the entire draft, hometown Derrick Rose? The guy who was a rookie of the year, a second year all-star, and the third year MVP? Is that the one hometown guy knock that they have? Because I'm pretty sure they nailed that pick. Look at me sitting here defending Garpak's. But again, some of these fans I'm seeing say, ah, classic Garpak's pick. Took the hometown kid, of course. No. They overpaid washed hometown people. They didn't draft them. And Derrick Rose, hometown, excellent pick. 11 out of 10, excellent pick. So I think that's a lazy comparison to say, ah, this pick, Garpak's written all over it. No, they liked his scoring. They liked his confidence. They liked his mental makeup. They like his length and defensive versatility. Check, 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 check. Hey, is it a cool bonus that he grew up in Chicago, played at Morgan Park, went to U of I, led that team to a number one seed in the tourney, and is now falling in their laps at 38 when he certainly himself could have been a first-round pick? Yeah, those are all fun bonuses that the fan base can be happy about, and maybe the Bulls sell a few extra tickets next season because of it. But that wasn't the motivation. I don't think that AK and Eversley made the pick of Io because they were concerned about merch and ticket sales. Whereas I do think that the previous regime, that's why they signed D. Wade. That's why they signed Jabari Parker. And that's why I was freaking furious with them. This Io pick is not that. And if you think this Io pick is that, I think you're wrong. And I don't know how to help you if you don't understand all of the reasons I just laid out for why this is not that. So that's how I feel about the whole IO second round pick thing. Then we also have to talk about how this can cause potential ripple effects for other decisions that are just around the corner with this Bulls team. As draft is over, next step, we got free agency starting at the beginning of August. So I'll talk about a couple of those pieces of what domino falls, if any, because of the IO pick in just a second. First, I wanted to tell you guys about our great friends at Built Bar. They were the title sponsor of the live Locked On NBA draft show that was last night. I watched a good amount of it. I thought, by and large, it was better than ESPN's draft coverage, and I'm not just saying that as a Locked On homer. So I hope some of you watched that and enjoyed that. Kudos to everybody involved. Nick Angstadt, John Corrales, my guy who does Locked On Celtics. Great, great job hosting. Chad Ford, the draft goat, offering his insight. It was really cool to see a big leap as far as what this network started out as and where we are and what kind of content we're producing now. So anyway, Built Bar was the title sponsor of that show, which was really cool to see. They are also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is pretty cool. The Olympics are still going on, and those USA Olympians are refueling with Built Bars in between runs, in between heats. That's pretty awesome. So if you haven't tried all these Built Bar flavors, you are missing out, because they've got something for everybody. If you like, you know, coconut, candy bars like Almond Joy, like Mounds, they have a coconut Built Bar that's right up your alley. They've also got some fruit flavors like Cherry Barcia and Raspberry and Orange and Strawberry. And then if you're a salty and sweet person like me, try things like Mint Brownie, Double Chocolate, Salted Caramel, and German Chocolate. They've even got a cookies and cream flavor. So if you haven't tried them all, you can get a mixed box from Built.com. You get two of each Built Bar flavor, so you can try them all. Not only are these Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy for you too. All of them have either 17 or 18 grams of protein in each bar, but only ranging from 130 to 180 calories. Only 4 or 5 grams of sugar and 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. All amazing flavors, all tasty, and all healthy for you. So go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% on your order. Every time you go, every order you place, promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15 will give you 15% off at Built.com. All right, so the Bulls take Io and it leads to a lot of questions about what the Bulls do next. Coby White, currently mending. Arturas was asked about Coby and his progress in their post-draft press conference on Thursday night. He said, progressing well, spirits are high. We're hoping that as far as timeline, he is on track of that initial timeline of when he will be reevaluated. But that reevaluated timeline that they gave us when we heard about this injury a month or so ago, has Coby missing training camp? Like pretty much missing all of training camp and then probably missing the first several weeks, if not months of the NBA season, given the range of that timeline. With that being the case, Io, who is a combo guard, he can handle some playmaking and ball handling next to Zach LaVine, or certainly handle those duties or some of them in a reserve bench role, as Coby was doing at times last season, could certainly see more tick than he otherwise would have if Coby White were not injured this offseason. So there is one potential, you know, consequence and one potential motivation for the Bulls selecting Io is, crap, Kobe's going to be on the shelf rehabbing while we kick off the 21-22 season. We need another scoring threat in our backcourt, probably coming off the bench, to replace that. When Coby comes back, hopefully sooner rather than later, knock on wood, and fully healthy, you know, how much will Io's minutes while he was out take a hit? We'll see how Billy Donovan wants to handle that. We'll see how NBA ready Io proves himself to be if Billy Donovan does throw him in that rotation right out of the gate, which I think is certainly a possibility. The other name that, of course, a lot of people are talking about now because of the selection of Io is Tomas Satoransky. The veteran who at times starter, at times backup, just kind of, you know, he's going to give you the devil every night, right? 6 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. That's like the classic Sato game. As a guy, along with Thad Young, who has a partial guaranteed decision, which, by the way, the Bulls have to make like in the next 48 hours or so, is he the casualty that they feel they can afford to lose and keep Thad? Because keep Zach LaVine happy, keep some reliable front court depth, a strong two-way player, proved to be the Bulls' second most reliable player pretty much throughout the entirety of last season. Sato is expendable now, right? That's what the Io pick might inform you, that the Bulls are still going to go out and try and find that starting point guard in the offseason. Whether it be Lonzo Ball or somebody else, that's still on their to-do list. It's not like Io is the pick and they're like, okay, he's a combo guard, search over. No, hardly. But he does make Sato expendable. And Sato's cap space being added to what the Bulls have now potentially expands their options or expands the likelihood that they can put out an offer that is competitive if they are hunting players who have other offers, which will certainly be the case because everybody's going to be looking for point guards to sign this offseason. So Sato's contract and getting off of that and adding that cap space to an offer for a point guard who can come in and start next to Zach LaVine certainly seems to make a lot of sense, right? That even if you don't have Coby White out of the gate this season, throw Io in there and see what he can do. I mean, he is 21. He's a three-year player. You expect him to be NBA ready to a significant degree, if that's the case, right? I think all signs point to Thad might stay because they see how valuable he is. Sato is expendable. And getting Sato's money into what they're going to try and do in free agency would be a nice little added chunk of change. Because the other wrinkle to the Bulls picking Io is what kind of contract they want to sign him to. Because if they want to retain his full bird rights, they got to sign him to more than just the classic second round pick 2-year deal, right? They have to sign him to at least a 3-year deal to retain those bird rights. And in order to do that, they will have to use, you know, a mid-level exception, some kind of exception to sign him to a more substantial deal than the second round or 2-year deal. And if they feel that strongly about Io, that they want him to be a part of this team and fits with, you know, the Patrick Williams timeline, he's actually, as a member of this draft class, what, 2 years older than Patrick Williams, who like just turned 20 this summer. So that is one other decision. One other wrinkle to drafting Io is, who are you going to try and sign as a free agent to add to the depth and maybe even a starting spot to this roster this offseason? And then what kind of money do you want to throw at Io Dosunmu? Because the Bulls have a lot of decisions to make. Restricted free agents. Can you get something for Lowry? Are you going to let Tice go? Just decisions all over the place. And now they have yet another one regarding whether or not they want to have Io Dosunmu's full bird rights and sign him to a deal longer than the 2-year standard for a second rounder. Because if they do, they got to figure out where that money is coming from. If they're going to take Sato's departing money and throw it at a starting point guard and not the backup combo guard that you just drafted. So we'll see how AK and Eversley handle all of that as we move forward. Look, a lot of this is going to fall in the next week. So I am super excited to get my guy Big Dave back. He's been on vacation for the last week or so, and hopefully he had a wonderful vacay and comes back refreshed and ready to go with me so he and I can keep you guys up to speed with everything that's going on for NBA free agency as that plays out starting in just a matter of days. But so anything that you want to talk about, free agency upcoming, what this Io Dosunmu draft pick means for the Bulls and the other offseason dominoes, if you have any takes on the whole Io versus Sharif Cooper debate that I discussed today, whatever's on your mind, Bulls Nation, let us know. Hit us up. You can find me on Twitter, Bulls_Peck. We are at Locked On Bulls. And of course, you can hit us up on that text and voicemail line. We will get to a lot of your thoughts on the Bulls selection of Io in some mailbag content next week. That number is 331-979-1369. For my soon returning partner, Big Dave, I'm Matt, saying thanks as always for listening and watching. Shout out to our subscribers on YouTube. See red, be good. Welcome to Chicago, Io. Peace out. Have a great weekend.